Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Brian, say something.
Something.
Okay, Christine, talk real quick.
Talking real quick.
Okay, yeah. Now we are definitely all good, and now that the cold open's ruined, whatever. Welcome everybody to the Anime Versal Reviews podcast here on the Genreverse Podcast Network and YouTube channel. We're available wherever you get your podcasts from, and YouTube. Like I said, I'm Kyle, joined as usually on my left. Yeah, you're usually there on the left. My wife, Christine, and our husbando, Brian, across the U.S. a bit from us. It seems like a really long way away, but it's really,
really
only
sort of not.
One state over.
Yeah.
I mean, you are 12 hours away because it's like two long ass states.
Yeah.
And, you know, our state's not that thick or tall, whatever you want to say, but it is wide. So, we're here to talk about Chainsaw Man, review Chainsaw Man episode 8. And holy shit, you know, we were mentioning to Brian how dark Fate Zero is. Not sure if Stay Night is as darker or whatever, but we were recommended to start with Zero, and holy crap, did we not need that after episode 8 of Chainsaw Man. You guys can see our reaction on AVR Squared. Christine and I did that today, whenever I get this out. So let's hear what Brian kind of thought, spoiler free first. Brian?
Another one of those episodes where you sit back and you say it checked every box and then some. The first half and the second half are radically different in terms of tone and just sort of what the episode is, but I absolutely speechless and amazed at just how consistently great the show is.
I hear you on that one. I really enjoyed the hell out of it. I was shocked multiple times, and even after the episode ended, I'm still like, I have a feeling I know at least a couple of tragedies that might be lasting, but I still don't know if all of the tragedy is permanent, and it's still very, very shocking. Just eight episodes in. What'd you think, Christine?
Yeah, it kept getting more and more shocking. Just jaw-dropping, so.
Let's go in reverse order then. Christine, how would you grade this episode?
An A.
Okay. Brian?
A plus.
I'm an A plus person too. I can't find anything not to. This is, Brian and I were talking last week. You were missing on that one. You weren't feeling so hot. We were kind of debating, you know, is it an A plus? But if you have to debate it, can it really be an A plus? This one, I sat there and I was just like, is there any reason not to be an A plus? And
yeah, I mean, we even got down to like the little specks of dust, like just the beauty
that,
of it, and
like in the artwork, like in Jimeno's apartment, they actually have dust particles.
Oh, okay. Now,
I guess A plus, because I mean, it wasn't just the story, it was the look of it, the sound of it, it Yeah, it had everything. So except, yeah, I guess so.
Except for the zipper, Brian. Did you notice Denji's zipper didn't quite sound right?
Not really, but
so during our reaction, I was like, that zipper sounds weird. Intergalactic Tyrant down in the comments said this about our comment with the zipper, because later on you hear zippers when the stuff goes down on the train, and where I was like, that's a much better zipper sound. Anyways, Intergalactic Tyrant says the zipper sound on Denji sounds pretty accurate, especially those type of stiff jeans/shorts. It's even more accurate when you unzip while laying down. It does that sound. I mean, not like I know anything about that. So I was just like, well, I guess my Dickies and whatever it is my wife wears, they must have different zippers. But I like not knowing anything about it.
Yeah, it's great. Are we in spoiler territory? Or no?
Not yet. Okay. Not yet. Are you ready for that?
Yes.
Dun, 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 dun. I think I made that joke last time. All right, let's talk spoilers, guys. Brian, what you got?
No, just that particular sequence. I mean, yeah, talk about pacing. I mean, we got basically a recap with extra information and different angles as far as that.
See, not all of those lines were in the thing last week, right?
And okay. It was a little different, and some of the shots, some of the dialogue was from a different point of view as far as what we were seeing. And initially, I was a little like confused, and then I caught on pretty quickly, but I just loved it. And like I said, it's slow, but it has so much heart and reality to it as far as all the interactions they had felt real, all the way down to the deal they made, you know, when they were having breakfast. And so, I don't know, it's stuff like that where I'm just like, man, this is just, the writing is so good. It's not blood, gore, action. It's just people talking and interacting, and that stuff's amazing. And then, of course, you know, we'll get to the ending, which, boy, oh boy. Okay.
Yeah, so with like the dialogue at the beginning, I guess maybe I just assumed that that's what was going to happen. I don't know, because to me it was like, this doesn't feel new. I don't know.
It wasn't so much new. It was just like Brian said, more, and I recognized that it was more. Like, I don't remember her calling Makima a bitch last week. Do you?
I thought she did.
I think she did. Did she? I'd have to go back and double check, but I think she did.
That one's on mine, not remembering it. But regardless, that bitch got what she deserved. No, I'm joking. I love the apartment stuff. I really do. I think, like Brian was saying, it's amazing writing. And you can do that in an episode that does go off the rails with the blood and violence, and it not feel out of place. Even the morning after conversation. Even her discovering the lollipop.
I want to talk about that real quick. Okay, quick rant. From the moment, I mean, the dialogue's just perfect. Him basically saying, oh, you know, no, this isn't who I want to, you know, have my first time with. And then she's there and she's willing, and he's just like, yes, I do. That's so like natural and normal. Like, you completely felt that and understood it, but then you had the lollipop. Mm-hmm. And then we get the little backstory and that connecting him to that emotion, and then him changing his mind, all perfectly within reason, made complete sense for the character. And I'm just sitting there just like, yeah, you know, perfect.
Bravo.
Your first time doesn't have to be, you know, sunshine and rainbows and the birds tweeting out in the back for you, but you know, you shouldn't just throw it away. So yeah, I was really glad that he changed his mind, but it was funny watching him like, okay, yeah.
I feel attacked just throwing it away. How dare you? Anyways. I'm sorry.
No, you're fine.
I wanted to just make the joke. It's worth it.
That's young Kyle. That's stupid Kyle.
Stupid every guy.
I mean, I get it. I get it from that point of view. I mean, I too was once a horny 16-year-old boy. So,
16.
Huh?
16.
Well, that's how old Denji thinks he is at this point. Yeah, that's true. That's why I threw that age out there in particular. the morning after, like, the, it just sets up this thing, this false sense of security where you're like, man, they're gonna work together for a while. They're gonna go and try to help each other get with the person they actually have romantic feelings for, instead of just, you know, having a warm body for the night. And then, my God, does it go south? Holy crap! Let's just kind of go in rough order of this hit, man. This coordinated hit. The whole team is basically taken down. You see the kind of setup. You see, God, I forget her name. The girl and the guy that tried to kill Denji in the during the Eternity Devil bout. Mm-hmm. But it's that train situation, man. Because Christine and I were just sitting there talking and enjoying the show, and I don't even remember what I was mentioning. Oh, it was the zipper thing. Like, we see them duck, and I'm like, uh oh, you know, a bunch of people just duck. Something's about to go down. But then you hear the zipper, and I'm like, that's a much better zipper. Boom! What the? Did they just I didn't even see that Makima gets hit.
Yeah.
At first, I was like, oh, she dipped out. We're gonna see her devil power or whatever. And then it's like, nope, there's her corpse, and it's like, What am I watching here? And just the whole tone, the lack of music in several scenes here, the sound design. I've sung the praises of the sound design of this show so many times. Everything on the train, man, was just shocking. And then the next hit with the two on the street and the old person like about to gun them down, and just,
yeah, that's always a scary image. It's like, oh, sweet old lady, and then all of a sudden she pulls out a gun on you, like, what the hell. So
what do you think about all that, Brian?
Yet again, shocking and brilliant, because we're, you know, and who knows, maybe something will happen and they'll survive, or, you know, I don't know what they're going to do. But You've been spending all this time establishing this team and these goals, and okay, this is what we're doing. And this episode was that curveball where it's just like, nope, everything you think this show is, it's not.
Yeah.
Who are these guys? What's going on? Why are they doing what they're doing? Like, there's all these questions that's opened up, plus the question of who's really going to survive this and who's permanently gone. And so
I agree.
Yeah.
We've had several people tell us Kunal, the prologue's over. That's how they said it. Mr. Johnson, that's their name, and on YouTube as well, also said that the prologue is over. Bad Piggy, welcome to the wild ride that is Chainsaw Man. And then there's this one, Painsaw Man. Several people, Mini Bubble Gum, it's Oni Cha Cha. Oh no, Oni Cha Cha said it only gets more insane from here on, fellas. Satellite and Mini Bubble Gum and a few others calling it Painsaw Man. So it's like, damn, is the slice of life fun over? Like, someone said that it's not, but that the pain is a lot more. So. Mm. How you feeling about that, Brian? Painsaw Man. It's got a name.
Yeah. Like I said, the based on the opening credits and just sort of the presentation, you have an idea of what it's going to be. And this was that episode that was just like a punch to your, you know, gut saying, no, you're wrong.
Anything on that, Christy?
No.
Guys ready to hit the restaurant and the final battle?
Bad.
Oh, my God, dude. When he's sitting there talking and, you know, it slowly dawns on you, oh, my God, this guy might be connected to the Yakuza demon, you know, guy Denji was with. But, dude, I did not see that fight going down that way. Brian, take over.
Okay, look, the thing that's so amazing, and as someone who we've mentioned it in previous, I think, reviews for this series, maybe something else, Persona mm-hmm. series, Shin Megami Tensei, there was a lot of that in this, because the idea of using devils as your allies and mm-hmm. their abilities and how it can affect you, or you may, you know, lose some, what, you know, the sacrifices you make in order to use them. And so this was just that and done brilliantly. And everybody's using these devils and using these powers and, you know, making the bargain they need to make in order to achieve their goals. And look, the gore, the blood, the action, the what's going to happen next, what exactly does that power do? Like, I was on the edge of my seat. And if I'd had time, I had to go to work, I would have rewatched it.
It's really, really good episode. The fight is insane. Aki trying to save his friends is intense.
Yeah.
Bringing on the fox demon and then the fox demon being slaughtered from the end. Like, this is an interesting thing you've put in my mouth, boy. What the hell? And then split, and here's knife man, sword man. I don't know what you're gonna call this. Dingy counterpart. I was left dumbfounded.
I know, because then it's like when he gets up again, you're like, oh shit.
Mm-hmm.
What's next? And then later on, it's like the worm coming through, and you're just like, okay. Then it just got even more intense. So yeah, it definitely took a moment to sink in. And I wonder what's going to happen next.
I love how they showed fear. Like him, he had fear, especially when he's preparing to fight him after that girl shows up and kind of restores or, you know, brings knife sword guy back up. When he zooms past to behind Aki, the heavy breathing, the just all of it, palpable fear in this. He did great. He pulled the sword. Like when he pulled the sword, I was like, damn, dude. Cause you remember what happened in the last one. And I'm like, what is that going to cost him? When the mouth started counting down, I was like, oh, is this one where he can only use like 3 hits and it'll take something. It'll take his life or whatever. You know, is he going to have just like all of these like thoughts are going through my mind, and it's just, we don't know what the full costs are yet. But we sure know that Himeno really didn't want him to use that sword before. And I'm curious as to what's going to happen there. Speaking of Himeno, Brian, we lost a member of the crew, man. If one thing I know for sure, I think I know for sure, is that she's done. She's gone. She's she was willing to sacrifice. Did we know how she lost her eye? Yeah. What did you think about that whole thing, man? And
tragedy,
her sacrifice.
Are you talking about Pain Sol? I think that's probably what the reference was. Like, just and that's why I love the opening so much, because that made all that way more intense and important. Mm-hmm. Is just getting just a little, like you said, slice of life, just how she is, you know, and just how she operates, and just how that all played out, and then building it in a way where you think, oh, this is, you know, she's going to be around and these are things she wants to do and achieve, and it's just like, no.
Mm-hmm.
She sacrifices herself in a very brutal way, and
it might be for naught.
Maybe.
I know, but at least it gives him a chance, because I mean, that was insane, you know, just like, what'd she say, take it all?
Yeah, she was going to give everything. Yeah. And I mean, love. She did.
Yeah. So.
Yeah, that was great. What do you think about the girl? Didn't it kind of look like a dingy counterpart, like a long lost sister or something? I don't know. Was I seeing something not there, Brian?
And I'm not sure. That was exciting, because we have a bunch of people who, all the people that were doing the hit, I was like, I guess they're just regular people. I can't really tell. But then her, clearly she's not. And so the question is, who are they and what is their goal and ambition? Like, well, why are they taking out devil hunters? Well, what is it? You know, is this tied to the gun devil and specifically to Dingy? Or is there more something else going on?
So, EO, I'm sorry if I messed up the name, but they said it's assumed that they are working for the gun devil, considering they all have guns, and the sword guy said that gun that the gun devil wants your heart. So they're either working for or with is something that's being assumed. So thank you for no spoilers in the comments. Everyone do appreciate that. We love hearing other theories and things like that to bounce off of. So, because I also wonder, like, who's pulling the strings here? Who's, like, this is a big deal. Like, revenge only goes so far. That girl is beyond revenge, you know?
Yeah. So.
I don't know. It's an amazing episode. Anything else you guys wanted to bring up, Brian?
I said several episodes ago that it seems like, you know, yes, Denji is the main character, but it seems like Aki's sort of the main character. Mm-hmm. And there was a little bit more of that even in this episode where, like, it's Chainsaw Man, but clearly who writes this, Aki's their character, you know. So,
Christine, any other final thoughts?
No.
Alrighty, guys. I guess that will do it for Chainsaw Man episode 8 review here on Animeversal Reviews. Before you guys go, right after you're done watching this video, make sure you, I totally messed all that up. Guys, go, Jesus Christ. It's been a long day, and like I said, we've watched some Fate Zero. We had Chainsaw Man episode 8. There's a lot of news I gotta prepare to talk about tomorrow with the Daily Cup of Genre. So let me go with that, guys. Check out. This is not set up at all. You know what? LRMonline.com every day for all entertainment news, needs, and opinions. Be sure to check out the podcast network, Genreverse Podcast Network, wherever you get your podcast from, any Google, Spotify, SoundCloud, things like that. And of course, the YouTube channel. Be subscribed if you're not already. Shows covering Marvel, Star Wars. We got general geek, pop culture, entertainment type shows. A lot of really great content. Brian also does YouTube. Tell them about that, Brian.
Check out Pulp Mythos on YouTube. Subscribe. Do that.
There you go. All right, guys, that'll do it. We will see you on the next AVR, which will be AVR squared Spy Family with Brian on Saturday, and later on this week you've got Eminence and Shadow from Christine and I, Beast Tamer, and what am I missing? Fate Zero on Thursdays and Mondays and Thursdays. Well, I'm out of here, guys, before my brain shuts down. Bye.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.